podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Today the passage is out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory to the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen."
Judy's helping me out so my collar's messed up. Thank you. I appreciate that. Judy was always watching my back, you know, so I knew I could count on it. It's good to be back. Thank you. So homecoming, there's nothing like it. There's just something about the familiar sounds and smells and sights of home. And I was reminded as we were driving up here, the first time you see Pilot Mountain peeking out, you kind of know, I'm near, I'm getting close, I'm there. It's kind of guiding you in like a beacon. But coming home sometimes can be tough. It can be tough, and I don't know if you can identify with this experience, but you've grown up, you moved out of the house, you've been out on your own for a little while, and you come home. No longer a kid, now an adult, but they still expect you to sit at the kids' table. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had that experience? You know, I'm thinking, I'm a college graduate now. I have a wife. I have children of my own. When do I finally get to graduate from the kids' table? When do I finally get to go away from the card table with folding chairs and get to eat on real wood and sit in real wood? Do you know what I mean? So here we are, church, a few years older. I have a few more wrinkles, a few more gray hairs in my beard that are showing up more and more every day. I tell my students it's their fault. Our own children now can take our seats at the table, the ones we used to sit in, and we may take some of the seats of saints who have gone on before us, who've taken their own seats at a heavenly banquet. So we're thankful to come back to this place that nurtured us, that cared for us, when we didn't know what we were doing, and you were so gracious and kind to us. We have fond memories of Quaker Gap, and many. Our lives were forever altered and shaped by the 8 years that we spent in this place and by the time we spent with you, our family. So thank you. So many of you have joked, and I haven't heard it yet this time, but many joked and said that I literally wrote the book on this place, and they would be accurate to some degree, I guess. So it's probably appropriate on this homecoming Sunday that we draw our attention back to those first minutes, the first record we have of Quaker Gap Baptist, where we read, "On the fifth Sunday of October in 1909, a presbytery composed of Dr. H.A. Brown, Fred Day, and W.H. Wilson met at Union Hill Methodist Church and organized what is to be known as Quaker Gap Missionary Baptist Church." It's good to remember where we're from. It's good to remember those who've paved the way before us. It's good to pause and to reminisce from time to time. You know, recently I came across an article that got me to thinking, though. It was an article by a guy by the name of Bill Wilson. He is the director for the Center for Congregational Health. And in the article, he asked this question. He said, "Are our lives primarily shaped by our memory or our imagination? Are our lives primarily shaped by our memory or our imagination? It's a good question. It's probably worth pondering for a minute or two. And he goes on to say in the article, spoiler alert, but he goes on to say, we need both. We need both. We need memory and imagination. But he says the default position for most of us is set towards the former. Most of us, if we're not really thinking about it, it's set towards, I want to base my life on the familiar, on the known. I don't want to be surprised too much. You know, we're taught from an early age that we shouldn't overinvest in our imaginations. People say, get your head out of the cloud. Or they say, stop being such a dreamer. Or get realistic about life. And in fact, in our world today, we're so bombarded by technology that imagination seem to be growing more and more rare and more stale with lack of use. Because I don't have to imagine the fantasy world in this book that I'm wonderful book that I'm reading. I'll just pull up the movie on Netflix and somebody else can imagine it for me. Or I don't have to imagine myself hitting a home run in the bottom of the ninth of the World Series. I just get my Xbox and I create my own player. I can let them do it for me. It's okay. I don't have to imagine that. Now, interestingly, this is not our children. Our children, I love watching our boys play. They still have really great imaginations. And sometimes I like to just come by the room and eavesdrop on the conversations they're having with each other. I probably shouldn't tell them that. They're now hearing me going, Dad, you do that? But sometimes it's fun just to stand outside the door and listen in to what they're saying to one another and to listen to them tell me some wild stories from time to time. Some of them true and some of them not so true. You know, I think kids naturally have great imaginations. You know, Jesus had a good imagination. Jesus had a good imagination. He stepped into a situation, into a people that were steeped in memory, that were steeped in tradition, that were steeped in ritual. And like an onion, he began to peel back layer after layer of meaningless and lifeless repetition and breathe new life into it. Over and over in the Sermon on the Mount, you heard Jesus say, you've heard it was said, but I tell you. He's taking these rituals that people have just been going through without even thinking about it, peeling them back and saying, here is where the Spirit is at work. He was using his imagination to share the heart of this gospel message. And Jesus was breathing life into these dusty old bones of religion. You know, I think the Apostle Paul probably had a pretty good imagination as well. Michelle read this wonderful passage from the book of Ephesians, and Paul, sitting in a jail cell, pens this letter to the church at Ephesus. And it's a letter that he's seeking to remind the church who they are, remind them of their life together as the body of Christ, and to get them to imagine what that new life would look like, how it would be different, how it would be changed if it were truly characterized by the gospel message. You know, Paul starts out, not to give you an overload here of Ephesians, which I don't know if Jack's done a series on Ephesians, but he should. It's a great book. Sorry, Jack, plug there. But in the beginning, Paul, here's my very brief summary to get up to chapter 3. Paul in chapter 1 says, look, church, I don't cease praying for you. I pray for you all the time that God may open the eyes of your heart so that you will know this hope that you have, that you will know the inheritance you have, that you will know the immeasurable power of God that is available to you. He says, I'm praying for you. And he goes on in chapter 2, he says, let me tell you about this gospel message, this gospel that we are saved by grace, not by works, about how God has taken those who were former enemies and has brought them together into one. These Jews and these Gentiles have now been reconciled with one another and reconciled with God. And he goes on into chapter 3 and he says, let me just tell you how eager I am to share the gospel message with you, this gospel that I've poured out my whole life for. And we come to the passage that Michelle read a few moments ago. For this reason, all of this that has led up to this point, for this reason, I bow my knee, that God may strengthen you so that Christ may dwell within you. It says, this is my whole hope, is that God may strengthen you and that Christ may dwell within you. Now, let me ask, have you ever had that experience of having someone come to dwell with you. That experience of welcoming somebody into your home and your life. I'm not talking about like weekend guests, because we can all do that. Like, we can all fake it for a couple of days, being hospitable when they're there, and you're like, yeah, welcome. So glad that in 2 days you're going to go home and it's not my home. And I can fake it for a couple of days. And that's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that friend that has fallen on hard times, and they're forced with making the decision, do I sleep in my car or do I go to this friend that I have and ask for help? Or I'm talking about those foster children whose parents just couldn't take care of them. And so you've opened up your lives and you've opened up your homes and you've said, welcome on in. And usually when that happens, at first you say something like this. You say, well, we're going to welcome them, but they will just have to adjust to our life and our schedule. But sooner or later, you're adjusting your life and your schedule to their rhythms. Sooner or later, you find that their heart is becoming tangled up with your heart, and it's kind of hard to separate the two. And sooner or later, you find that really they're not even guests anymore. Really, they're part of the family. In the years since we've left Quaker Gap, we've had these kind of experiences. Our house has been a kind of homecoming for a number of children. Our hearts have been expanded to include more love and more inconvenience than we really thought possible. And our family has been changed in ways that we will never get over. This is what Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus. He's saying, my prayer is that Jesus may come and take up residence in your life in such a way that you are eternally changed. That by extension, we who have received this message are eternally changed. Our schedule adjusted to fit Christ's schedule. Our priorities becoming Christ's priorities. Our forgiveness mirroring Christ's forgiveness. Our community resembling Christ's unity with the Father and the Spirit. Paul's prayer is that Christ will not just merely be a weekend guest, but that we will welcome him as a permanent resident. He says, my prayer is that Christ may dwell within you. But he goes on, he says, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, all farmers and gardeners know that soil is pretty important. You guys know this better than me, many of you. I'm not a great gardener. I tend to kill things, but that's probably not because of the soil. It's probably because of my own negligence, but that's beside the point. Soil is vital to the survival of any plant. I heard one gardener say he was moving towns, and he had, you know, been in the same place for, you know, 10, 15 years. And so as he was preparing to move, he gathered up all of the topsoil and filled his garbage cans, his plastic garbage cans, with the topsoil and stuck it on the truck and said, we're taking it with us. And his wife is like, what are you doing? He's like, I spent a lot of time on that soil. I composted and I fertilized and I weeded and I don't want my work to go to waste. I'm taking it with me. And it's important. It's hard work. And Paul says, I know the soil that will give life to your community. I know the nutrients you need, Paul is saying, and I pray that you may be rooted deep in love. I pray that love may nourish you. I pray that love will give you life. And this love that he's talking about, it's not that kind of warm, fuzzy kind of love, you know, puppies and little cherubs and stuff. No, that's not really talking about. It's not like a Hallmark card that you give to your girlfriend or your wife and you watch her blush and you go, just love you, baby. And it's not the kind of love that you just say, I just love Little Italy. I'm just telling you, I love it. It's not that kind of love. That's not what he's talking about. The love of Jesus is a fierce, covenant-keeping kind of love. It's a love that stares death in the face and sin in the face and says, it stops here. It's the kind of love that he would look down from the cross at the men who had just nailed him there and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's a fierce love. And this is the kind of love that holds our roots solid. This is the love from which we draw our very life as the body of Christ. You know, I truly believe that as a people, as a church, we must be rooted in memory. We're rooted in the gospel story, this story of what Jesus has done, the love that he has demonstrated for us. We are rooted in the stories of those who have gone before us, those men and women who were faithful to the call of God, those men and women upon whose shoulders we stand today as Quaker Gap Baptists. We're rooted in their legacy. Our memory keeps us grounded, connected to this place. And this people, this community of Christ followers, were rooted in love. But then Paul goes on, that you may have the strength to comprehend, dare we say, imagine, the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses memory, that surpasses tradition, that surpasses the status quo, that surpasses lifeless repetition. Paul says, I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know if you've ever seen the roots of a redwood tree. If any of you have had the experience of gotten to go out west, maybe to California, and you've seen the roots of a redwood tree. One would think that a tree that would grow up to 350 feet tall would have really deep roots. It doesn't. Carolyn's shaking her head. She says, no, it doesn't. They're only about 5 or 6 feet deep, but they spread out as much as 100 feet either direction, these roots. And the cool thing about them is these roots intertwine themselves with the roots of the next tree, and some of the times they begin to fuse together. So you have these huge, tall trees that are bound together by this intertwining of roots shallow beneath the soil. And I believe that's kind of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, rooted in the memory of those who've gone before us, rooted in Christ who has blazed the trail, our ancestors and kinfolk who have faithfully loved this place, and as we are rooted in them, we develop strength. Rooted in memory, we stay connected to the ground, and rooted in memory, we are ready to tackle the future. Because the roots aren't the goal. The roots aren't the goal. They're never the goal. Roots give the needed support to allow the tree to reach for the sky. If memory is what grounds us, I believe it's imagination that allows us to soar. That's what Bill Wilson's getting at. Imagination allows us to begin to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love. Imagination peels back layer after layer of what was to allow the Spirit to breathe new life into what is and what will be. Imagination pushes us beyond what we ever thought would be possible and allows us to embrace God's future. Imagination allows us to see that God can do exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine on our own. Imagination unleashes the power of the Holy Spirit within us to truly bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So, Quaker Gap, let me pose to you the same question. Who's in the driver's seat? Who's in the driver's seat? Is it memory or imagination? Are we comfortable with what God has already done? Or are we letting our imaginations run wild with the exceedingly and abundantly more that God could yet do in this place? As we celebrate our homecoming today, we do so rooted in memory. I mean, we remember that group of men and women who dared to imagine what God would do in this place. They are people who built this church on a foundation of bedrock, who milled their own timber to form walls and rafters, who paid their pastors with chickens because it's all they had. They did this because they were a people who dared to imagine that, God's kingdom just might take shape among the tobacco fields of Stokes County. There were men and women of imagination and vision who weren't afraid to try new things and were not comfortable enough to settle for the status quo. Men and women willing to take risks to see the gospel of Jesus proclaimed and Christ's love to be manifest in this community. So my prayer, Quaker Gap, is that we may embrace their legacy. My prayer is that we may share in their imagination. My prayer is that we may see a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God poured out in this place, that we may see exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that we dared to imagine possible, that we might see revival among God's people, that we might see real brokenness and repentance before the Lord, that we might see the kingdom of heaven manifest in real and tangible ways, that eyes might be open and chains might be broken and prison doors falling from their hinges and the oppressed dancing in their freedom. I pray that we may see marriages healed, we may see addictions conquered and enemies reconciled and apathy consumed with a holy passion for Christ and His church, that we might see comfort zones demolished, that we might see a church living in victory, a city set on a hill that all of Stokes County might see and be drawn towards the light of Christ. Could you imagine it, church? Could you just imagine it, church? Come on, think about it. People gathered together, lifting their voices in song as we already did this morning. So choir, you got to help me out here. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine all of these voices brought together, lifting up a song of victory, a shout of victory? So let me ask you, are you going to cling to memory? It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. But are we going to cling to memory? Are we going to let our imaginations be ignited by the Spirit of God? You know, it was during my time at Quaker Gap that Jim Baldwin first introduced me to the writings of a guy by the name of Frederick Buechner. And ever since then, Frederick Buechner has been one of my favorite authors. In one of his memoirs, I think he's written four, in one of them, he writes this. Unless you become like a child, Jesus said, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And maybe part of what that means is that in the long run, what is good about religion is playing and imagining the way a child plays at being grown up until he finds that being grown up is just another way of playing and thereby starts growing up himself. Maybe what is good about religion is playing that the kingdom will come until in the joy of your playing and imagination, the hope and rhythm and comradeship and poignance and mystery of it, you start seeing that the playing is itself the first fruits of the kingdom's coming and of God's presence within us and among us. So as family, we come home once again. Let's hug our kinfolk tightly. Let's grab a plate. Let's load it up with a mountain of good food. But maybe, just maybe, we won't be so afraid to take our seat at the kids' table. After all, according to Jesus, you might just find that the kingdom is breaking out there first. And just a little hint, that's where all the magic's happening anyway. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for the memories of those who have gone before us. We thank you for the way that they root us in this place, that they ground us and remind us who we are. But Lord, my prayer is that we will never become so enamored by memory that we forget to imagine. We forget to dream about the future that you want in this place. Lord, may we continue to reach for the sky. May we continue to invite your Spirit to ignite our vision, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Lord, when our imagination gets stale with lack of use, capture us by the beauty of your gospel. Remind us of your love. Cover us, Lord, with your grace. Lord, I pray for this church that you would continue to bless the work here and that you would continue to expand their borders, to expand their ministries. Give them opportunities to be a city set on a hill here in Stokes County, that all may be drawn to you, that all may be drawn to Christ. And then together we will lift our voices in victory. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.